Guys, welcome back to the Pause, Run, Play podcast. It's actually been a hot freaking minute since we podcasted, and there's honestly no one to blame but me. I live in a trailer. I didn't even fully edit the last podcast we did, so it's coming out post this one, guys. It's going to come out of order, but like I pretty much got it 3/4 of the way edited, and it sounds pretty good, but do you guys remember what that podcast was on?
No, I don't.
Josh, do you remember?
How could I forget, Casey?
it's my favorite
podcast, the top 10 movies of last year.
It is.
I was maybe it was the Oscar one, but that one came out then.
That one came out.
That one's out. It's on the website. But yeah, so I'm sorry, everyone. If you've been waiting anxiously for the next podcast to come out from this trio, there's no one to blame but me. Also, you can drive by my house and throw fruit in a basket. Don't damage it or bruise it because I'm trying to eat healthier. But if you'll just drop some by and do it like, angry man, like I'll accept that as my punishment. No, just kidding. But anyhow, it's good to be back with you guys. And we got the full cast here as always. We got Josh over here. How's it going, man?
It's going great. I've just been looking forward to it. I'm glad we got together again to talk and catch up and talk about some of these summer blockbuster and other movies we've been watching recently.
Some blockbusties.
I'm excited.
We're going to talk about this in a minute, but I went to IMAX for the first time in a few years the other day with Josh. And
in a few years?
Yeah. Like, whoa. Even before the pandemic, the last blockbuster I went to, IMAX I went to, was with you.
What did we see? Do you remember?
Mission Impossible.
That would have been a long time ago.
I just remember you texted me, was like, hey, I got tickets to this. And I was like, cool. You're like, it's an IMAX. I was like, cool.
Let's do it.
I actually hadn't seen the other ones before. Like that in years, like the ones before. The like, I think I watched them once and they were done, but like, it was like, we went. I was like, this is such an experience.
I got the IMAX theater really close here to my house. So it's it's like my go to is an IMAX. Like, I went and saw Nope in IMAX last night.
That's what we saw in IMAX. It was great.
Yeah. It's IMAX or Atmos or nothing.
Did you get the comfy seats so you can like lean back in?
I did. But I have to say, I was pretty disappointed. I mean, it was good because it was a comfy, like, lean-back seat still.
Yeah.
But the one that I sat in had, like, tears in the seat, and it looked kind of like – I thought something was spilled on it at first, but it was just, like, the threads were, like, tearing. It's kind of, like, ghetto and gross. And the Cinemark up the street in American Fork, those ones have really, really nice chairs. So this is my first time sitting in the fancy luxury seating in the IMAX theater here, and I was – not impressed.
Like, you were underwhelmed.
Yeah, I don't think I would pay for that sit in that one. I had a free movie ticket pass, so that's why I did it this time.
Is that why you did it too?
Yes, I used ours as well then at that point. And I feel like, I think the second row, and I have to remember this because I forgot, and so I got ours in the first row. I feel like the second row of luxury seats is far enough back, but I feel like the first one is still just like a little too close. Like, especially with that huge IMAX screen, I feel like you're kind of turning your head a little bit, and it's just like just a little bit too big still.
I noticed that too. I sat in the second row, thank goodness, but I thought that exact same thing when I sat down in that second row. I was just like, I don't think I'd want to be any closer than this.
Yeah, like this is about right.
Okay, but it's got like that little ledge up in front of you that's just along the edge of the bottom of the screen. When I first sat down, I'm like, is this going to cut off the screen? Because I'm not going to sit here if it is. I'll go walk into the back and sit up there if it does.
Like, I paid for my luxury seat, but I'll go.
Yeah, I would rather be able to see the whole screen than sit in the luxury torn seat here between two people that I don't know.
I like going to the movie by myself, but there is a certain level of comfort as people encroach on you as you're sitting there. And what's worse, like, I was sitting, and this is at a Cinemark in American Fork. Somebody stuck their leg one time on my lounger thing, and I, like, look over at them, and I, like, put my foot next to theirs. I always wear sandals to the theater these days. Like, it's just how I roll. Uh-huh. And, like, I put my, like, nearly bare foot, like, right next to their foot, and they just, like, pull it back over, and I don't know if they realize it or not. I'm like, sucks to suck, guys, but you're in my zone.
Yeah, that's not okay.
not okay. And we also got Vince. He's been chatting away. I didn't finish introducing you, Vince, but you're here. But Vince, what's been new with you? Like, what have you been watching? You mentioned Nope, but is there anything else that's kind of been like your go-to that you've been watching in the background or that you've went and watched in theaters? What's been going on with you?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of TV, very little movies lately. Like, I pulled up my Letterboxd here, and, like, this month of July, like we're in the end of July right now. We're recording on the 28th. I've watched 3 movies this month. In June, I watched 2 movies. So I've just been watching like a lot of TV and no movies, and I've been thinking about like why, and I know exactly why. And this is the old man coming out of me again. This happens way too much where my old 35-year-old mind kicks in. I never thought I'd be the person to say the days are too long. I wish it would get dark sooner. Because normally, like in the winter, it's like 5 o'clock and it gets dark, and I'm just like, oh, it's nighttime already. I can't believe this. I wish it was summer so I could have like plenty of time to get outside and do stuff. And lately, it's like I've been going to bed early because I've been waking up to like work out and stuff. Not trying to brag there. That sounded like a bro douchebag thing to say.
I've been working out.
But I wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I've been going to bed at like 10:30, and it doesn't get dark till like 9:30, and my TV's in my front room with this big giant window here. So it doesn't get dark till 9:30, and I want to be able to like get the full experience of the movie, so I want it to be dark before I start a movie. But by the time it's dark, it's like, oh, I'm going to be tired. I'm going to fall asleep during it in an hour, so I guess I won't watch anything. And that's 100% the reason why I'm not watching movies right now, because I sit there and I do the debate of like, I could watch this two-hour movie. It's going to be 11 o'clock. I'll probably fall asleep around 10:30, you know, and not finish it. That's what happened when I tried to watch The Gray Man. I fell asleep halfway through it. Or I can watch.
Saw that poster? Were you with me? No, that was me and Allie.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
We pulled up to watch a movie, and I think it was with you, and I didn't read it as The Gray Man.
I was there.
You were there.
We all went together to something.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember
when it was when we went and saw The Black Phone.
Yes. Mm. We pull up to The Black Phone, and I see The Gray Man, like, poster, and I read it as The Gay Man, and I was like,
all right.
Okay. Well, because it was right next to the Bros one. Is that what it is? The one where it's like the LGBT film. But I was like, The Gay Man? Like, this is a big year for queer movies. And that was like my thought. So sorry, keep going.
So anyway, I've been watching TV because it's easier to like consume TV because they're shorter episodes, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm so far behind on TV too. I guess so. That's my long way of saying I've been watching Hacks lately, and it's in season 2. I'm on the very last episode, and I've been loving it. It's about comedians, about these 2 female comedians that are kind of forced to work together. They're from 2 very different generations. Like, one of the comedians is a older woman who is working in Las Vegas and has been doing the same show for like years and years and years. She's had this great career, and now she's like on the tail end of things and kind of like losing her show on the Strip. And so she, in a roundabout way, hires this younger comedian, this up-and-comer who can't get work because of something she tweeted, if I remember right, in the first season. So she can't get work because she's like kicked out of Hollywood, and so she's forced to come and like help her write jokes. And they are just from 2 different generations, and they don't get along because they're both kind of like hard-headed but really funny. And it's really good, really well written. Really funny. I recommend it to everybody, and I don't know if anybody that I know has like taken me up on it and actually watched it, but you guys should, because it's fantastic.
It's been on my radar to actually watch because I looked it up. They're actually going to make like a whole trilogy. I heard about this. I don't know if you just said that, but they actually
like
know.
Season 3.
Oh, sorry.
Did you have a brain fart?
I had a brain fart. I just had a break in the Matrix. I'm very sorry. I, for some reason, skipped back to The Gray Man in my head.
Oh.
And I'm really sorry. So, no, I haven't watched this, but I'll take your recommendation for it.
No, but we can talk about Gray Man, because that's a movie that I actually – it's not on my letterbox here because I didn't finish it, so I refused to, like, record it as watched, because I got halfway through it, fell asleep, and just didn't enjoy it enough to go back to finish it.
Really?
You're like, it doesn't even deserve any stars.
Yeah, like, it's no stars from me.
How curious, because some people have actually told me I need to watch it. So
I've heard a lot of mixed things. So I've had like my boss at work. He was like, yeah, we really liked it. And then I had someone else who I was talking to on Instagram. They were like, oh, yeah, like I watched it and I didn't like it. So I've heard sort of mixed things. And it has like poor reviews like from critics on Rotten Tomatoes and fairly positive reviews from the audience on Rotten Tomatoes, and so because of that I just haven't really mustered the I'm gonna watch like a movie tonight and be like I'm gonna watch The Gray Man because of that. Like, I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it, but I've just been like kind of on the fence about it.
So. My opinion from what I saw was it's got pretty deep, like it's got entertaining action sequences. It's got a lot of them. It's like a lot of style and not a lot of substance in it. It's just, you know, your generic story about the gray man who like works between like License to Kill, works between the lines, doesn't have an identity. You know, he's the gray man. He's the guy who works in the shadows.
Wait, which one is that?
And that's Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. I'd go just for his face.
That's why I jumped into this movie, because the cast is awesome. It's Ryan Gosling, Ana de Armas, Chris Evans, what's the dude's name from Bad News Bears, the older guy? Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, Billy Bob.
Like, it's just an awesome cast. I was like, okay. And a kind of secret agent type, you know, Black Ops, whatever show. I'm like, oh, movie I'm in. Directed by the Russo brothers. I'm like, that sounds great. It's so generic, like.
So it's just like kind of like run of the mill.
Yeah, I just expected with a cast like that to be a little more, to have a little more, like I said, substance to it, and it just didn't. And it was just disappointing to see all these like A-listers kind of slumming it in a way. I kind of felt like, I mean, like I said, it's well choreographed, action's cool, but I'm like, there's just nothing here.
For me recently, I feel like that's all Ryan Gosling has been doing. And, like, I feel bad almost saying that because that, like, you know, white guy, pretty face.
Well, here's my question, I guess, for you too.
Talking about Ryan Reynolds, though, I'm the same way. I'm Ryan'd out.
Hey, buddy.
Okay, yes. And actually, that almost makes me want to watch it, like, a little bit more because I was like, Ana de Armas, Chris Evans, and stuff like that. But I was thinking, I was thinking of Ryan Reynolds, and I was like, I don't know, like, Free Guy was all right. I'm like, the Adam Project. And I'm like, I just haven't
kind
seen,
of
like,
gotten a, his
yeah,
shtick.
Like, Ryan Reynolds and, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm like, I've just kind of had about as much as I can of them lately. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know.
I'm right there with you.
I have a question for you guys, and it's based around, like, 2020, 2021, overall, were some rough years for people, right? Do you think the film studios and maybe the people creating films, actors, writers, and all that are kind of just trying to reboot and figure out how to do their thing again and do well? Or do you think that this is just kind of like they made a bland movie and they knew it and they're promoting the hell out of it to make money?
I think it's all about content, man. It's all about getting as much out as fast as possible so that people won't cancel your streaming service. Doesn't matter the quality as long as you got the names and the talent.
And I think that's the problem, right? Because I'm thinking about the movies that I've loved most this year, and there's one thing pretty much that is, I guess, not for every single one, but one thing that I see as a common factor in almost all of them, and it's originality. The movies that I love are so new and original, and it's just something that I haven't really seen before. Like, some of my favorite movies of the year, right? And we can talk a little bit about this one. I don't want to talk too much because I could, you know, fill three episodes worth of stuff with it, but Everything Everywhere All at Once, my favorite movie I watched so far this year. Nope, we'll get into that. Also, super original movie that I loved. The Black Phone, one of my other ones that I really liked as well, also super original. So that's like what it is when it's stuff that I'm watching that's remake or just like the same like genre of everything that we've been watching for the last 5 years. It's so hard to excite me to watch a movie like that. So
yeah,
I tend to agree with you, actually. And Vince, I want to go into this. I feel the same way. Like, I don't want to watch a movie right now. Like, if I want to watch a movie, I want to go to the theater again. But, like, for me, I've been, like, watching, like, I watched The Great, which is, like, on Hulu, like, about Catherine the Great. And it's got, like, some actors in it. And, like, it's really good. I forget the names of them. But, like, it's got some really good actors in it, but it's a lot of fun. It's, like, it's kind of, in a way, slapstick, but very well done. It's won some awards and stuff like that. I started watching The Bear on Hulu as well.
Oh, I heard that one's good.
It's actually amazing. And for someone like me who's, like, obsessed with cooking and stuff like this, it actually gets to, like, the heart of a lot of chefs and stuff like that. It actually talks about real restaurants in it, which is really cool. They reference cookbooks that, like, I've read that, like, esteemed chefs are doing. So it's, like, very awesome. And it actually has, like, professional chefs acting in it as well. Like, Maddie Matheson is in it. But then on top of that, it's just actually a great story. Stuff like that I'm watching. But what's really funny is, like, at night, Allie will be like, let's watch a movie. And it's like 10 o'clock, and I'm like, okay.
It's bedtime.
I climb in bed, and I'm like, sleeping. And it's like very funny because I'm like, well, I'm sleeping, and there's nothing we can do about it. But it's really cool just to kind of still at the same time have movies back in the theater.
Yeah.
And, like, I went and watched Black Phone with Josh, and we went and watched Nope. And Allie and I went and we watched a movie for the first time. We went to the movie together for the first time in a long butt time. I'm trying to remember. I'm having a hard time remembering what we went and watched. I watched Top Gun Maverick also with my grandparents, and that was actually super awesome. Thor Love and Thunder. So I guess, like, I've been going to the movie. I'm trying to remember what I went and watched with Allie in the theater, and it was just awesome to go to the theater. So I don't know, it was just awesome. So
yeah. Well, are there a few that we want to talk about, go over in a little more depth? And these will probably be, you know, either a couple of us have watched them or all three of us have watched them. There's a few.
I want to hurry and talk about something really quick.
I'm ready.
I've been doing Duolingo for a long butt time, and Josh joined and did 30 days streak on Duolingo, and he told me at the start of this that I had to sign up for Letterboxd and join him and Vince. So I've done it. If you want to find me on Letterboxd, my Letterboxd is actually just my name, Casey Yardley. No spaces.
Oh, I don't know how to find people.
I'm very proud of my name. I'll find you. Don't worry. Don't you worry,
sir.
It
took me a while to accept Josh's – no, it's not accept a request to follow you back because I didn't know how to do it.
Well, it's weird because it's like the way you like become friends is just like following someone.
You don't even get notified really or anything. It's just all of a sudden you're followed.
You have to go all the way over – I don't know, but we'll figure it out. But I joined Letterboxd.
Oh, there you are.
Just today. I found you.
I added you, and that should work.
And I'm going to find Mr. Jean Michael Vincent.
For anyone who doesn't know, like, and this is obviously not a hashtag ad of any sorts. I mean, if Letterboxd hears us and wants to sponsor us, hit us up.
Yo, Letterboxd. But Letterboxd, we want that good cash.
It's a super cool app where you can go and you can rate movies after you see them. And if you want, you can provide reviews and stuff like that. And so I like it for a couple of reasons. One, because I get to see what, you know, other people like Vince and Michael, who's been on our podcast before, I can see like what they see and
he's how they rate.
I follow him as well. And I can see like how you guys rate movies, and it can also like kind of make me think about it. Oh, why is it different than mine? Or, oh, wow, he rated it, you know, 4 stars, 5 stars. I need to go see that. And also I like it because, like I'm doing right now, I have my Letterboxd pulled up, and it makes it super easy to track and remember the movies that I've watched recently and also kind of how I felt about them. So if you don't have Letterboxd, please check it out and also add us, because I want to have more people, because right now I think it's like 4 people that I follow on there or something like that, but I think it'd be super cool.
Can we create a podcast Letterboxd where we manage it kind of like a podcast, like – Instagram?
Yeah,
I think.
I'm sure we can.
We'd like do a combined like score, what we think of it.
We could do like a playlist.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of curious if we could do like a curated list of films we've been watching, or we could do our top 10 every year. I'm just curious. Spitballing ideas here so I remember them later.
It's actually pretty fun. I went out with a girl the other day, and that was one of the things that we kind of bonded over was movies at one point. And I brought it up. I'm like, okay, because not a lot of people do this, you know. I'm like, I'm one of those guys, you know, I have this app that I keep track of the movies that I watch and I rate them. She's like, Letterboxd? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I got that too. Pull it up. I'm like, all right, cool. So we pulled it up, and she's like, looks at my little diary or whatever. She's like, all right, I think the most interesting thing is to see like your least, like your worst rated movies. So sort it by worst rated. So we went and we looked at each other's what we hate the most. And that was actually a lot of fun to see what people really dislike. Because there's, like, some surprises in there, you know? So, I don't know. It's a fun app. I've been enjoying it.
That's cool. And I'm looking forward to, like, having a lot more, like, time put into it. Because then over time, you know, you get a lot more movies on there. Because I kind of went back and I retroactively kind of scored, like, I think it was, like, 10 movies or so that I've watched in the past. But obviously you don't have, you know, everything you've ever watched on there. But since I'm going, you know, whenever I watch a new movie or one I haven't seen before and I add it on, it just kind of adds to all the movies you've seen. So you get more information. And then when you do something like that and you look at it with someone else, it's super cool. So,
yeah,
I'm going to commit to doing everything going forward. I'm not going to go back.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
But like I rewatch movies throughout the year. I don't know if you guys do this, but I'll rewatch a couple movies every year. And so I'll do those. But I'm not going to go back and rate anything
That's
for
what
anyone.
I did, too. It's, and it's the movies that I like actually sit down and watch. You know, if it's like a background movie, I don't really do it. Yeah. But if it's something like, okay, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna pay attention to this, pop up some popcorn or whatever, those are the ones that I like actually feel like I should, you know, like if it's something I just kind of watch in the background, I don't really know how I feel about it. I want to have like my actual thoughts. So anyway,
yeah. I do want to talk about a movie that I watched. So we talked about Clear Back when it was announced really quickly, but we haven't podcasted since then. And it's Top Gun. Did you even guys watch it?
I did. I saw Top Gun.
Did it meet your expectations?
And I guess the follow-up to that, I haven't seen it, by the way, but
have you watched the first one even?
Yeah, I watched the first one. What were your expectations going into it? Because that kind of affects if it met your expectations or not.
I don't want to be the downer.
Please.
The new Top Gun was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I'm so happy I saw it in IMAX. Like, it's a ride. You know, it's a ride. That's the best way to put it. Tom Cruise is awesome in it. The story was a blast.
Miles Teller's mustache was what we're seeing 100 times over.
So good. It's the exact same movie as the first one, just actually done well.
It is.
And there's my divisive take. I did not like the first Top Gun. I watched it the week before I went and saw the new one, and I sat there through the whole thing. I think I fell asleep during it again. Had to finish it the next day. I don't know what the appeal of the original Top Gun is. I think it's boring, and there's... Yeah.
I fell asleep.
Do you want to know what it was designed for? It was designed for people in the military. That's really what the movie was for. And it was for an adrenaline rush. It was for the sex appeal, the mustache, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's what it was for. Like, what's really interesting about, like, us here is, like, we grew up in the era, like, kind of, like, post-wartime. And so, like, the people who were, like, kind of, like, had grown up during all these different conflicts now are getting older, have extra money. So let's write a movie and create a film about that is what I kind of see it as.
Okay.
Same thing. The second movie was just the first movie done better. I thought it was great. Miles Teller, great. I love that they brought back, Batman, Michael Keaton. No, not Mike. Is it Michael Keaton? No, Val Kilmer. Sorry, Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that was
and
awesome.
His part was actually amazing.
That was really good.
He's had throat cancer and multiple reconstructive surgeries. Mm-hmm. And so they had him actually play himself, which was really cool. They didn't try to make him any more glamorous
They wrote his health issue into the character, which is really cool. I love how they've been doing that on shows and like stuff lately. They've actually taken real life stuff and kind of like in the Umbrella, the new season of Umbrella Academy.
No spoilers, because I'll watch it eventually.
It's not a big spoiler, but you know, the girl,
Elliot Page.
Elliot Page, she transitioned, and they wrote that transition into the character in season 3, and it's really
cool. Don't they explain it in, like, the second episode, I've heard, or something like that?
It's in the second episode where it starts, but it's a continual thread throughout the series. I just love how they did it with Iceman, too, and Top Gun. Like, they take these real-life things instead of being like, he can't act anymore, let's just write him out, you know?
Yeah.
They actually, like, put him in and, like, make it work for the character. I think that's so cool.
Well, I think that goes to a little bit of a change in culture where we want to see ourselves in movies. Because, like, there are, like, and this is, like, getting into it, there are huge portions of people who have physical disabilities, who have cancer, who have, you know, they go through a transition, you know, whatever is happening, there's so many of us in the world that, like, the 400 actors in Hollywood can't just do the same roles over and over and over again. And we all get it, right? It's becoming to the point where we want to see ourselves in these people. That's why I was like, Luca was my favorite film of last year. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, that's me! I'm this one-armed fisherman! Like, that's like, it was exciting. And so I love that as well. I think it's really good. But yeah, the story is amazing. I liked how the enemy was actually ambiguous. We don't really know who it was. But that one was great for me. I went and watched it with Mike.
And I loved how real it felt, like how they actually like flew around, like it, because it was real. How they actually like went up in the jets and flew around. And you can see it in their faces, like their skin moving around. Like it just felt real. In a world of Marvel movies done with and poorly done CGI, it's just like it felt tactile, you know? Like it's actually happening.
100%. I agree with you. Well, there's a blooper in there where Miles Teller's character like jumps up and he hits his head on the thing, That was a blooper. That was, he was supposed to make the cut of the film. Like, he just, like, wasn't paying attention or, like, wasn't strapped in properly and, like, hits the deck.
Came out of the seat.
And they, like, ended up using it. And he's like, I was glad because they, like, got really pissed at me when that happened. So it's like, I really want to talk about Top Gun because it was just, like, kind of fun for me. And I saw it with my grandfather, who's an Air Force veteran. And so he was pretty hyped on that kind of stuff. Awesome. Like, obviously, he had some comments during the movie about them being in the Navy or whatever. But it was still fun for me. So yeah, Top Gun was one I wanted to bring up.
My dad loved it too.
Did he?
I watched the first one with him too, and like through the entire movie he was like Google searching like the type of planes and jets and stuff. I had no idea he liked it, like the military stuff that much. I had no idea.
Dude, I will say
the thing I loved the most about the first one, it's got one of the best soundtracks of all time.
Yes.
The Top Gun soundtrack is like it, every single one is just a banger. It's still so good.
You know the song Danger Zone, right? That's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are certain times when I'm like doing adventurous stuff that song, I went to the danger zone, like that comes into my head while I'm doing risky behaviors and I'm like, this is my justification.
Yeah, so, it's okay.
Like I'm like Tom Cruise. I'm Maverick. But it's one of those things. So yeah, that's just one I wanted to bring up. I'll turn it over to someone else to talk about another movie.
Did you see
but...
it, Josh?
I didn't see it. Nope.
Oh, okay.
I had planned to because obviously it got super good reviews and a lot of people said they liked it. I also hadn't really loved the first one. I also fell asleep the only time that I watched it. And that's not the reason I didn't end up going. It just never happened. And so I was like, eh, if it ends up streaming somewhere eventually, I wouldn't be against watching it. But
see, that's where I mean, we can move on from the movie, but that's where I would recommend seeing it in the theater over seeing
it. Oh, true,
it.
I guess, yeah.
110%.
Because that's where I had fun with it. Like, it's a good movie, but, like, it's a ride. And being in the – I, like, see it in IMAX, biggest screen, loudest things possible, because it's, like, it's experience more than just a movie. So, it's up to you.
That's good. One I would even dare go find a theater that has, like, the vibrating seats in for, because, like, the ones that, like, shake with the production, because, oh, man. Vince is right. Go see it in the theater. I don't want to tack on too much more than that, right. But it was awesome.
So that's – one that you and Vince have seen. Let's do one that either you and me have seen or me and Vince. Which one?
You and Vince. I want to hear it because I want to ask the questions this time.
All right. Okay. We can't – I already mentioned it, but we can't talk too much about it. Everything Everywhere All at Once. I have to talk about it because I love it so much.
It's so good.
It's so good. If anyone hasn't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once, please, you know, skip the next, I don't know, like five-ish minutes or – however long, and just please watch it because it's one of the
best.
I think it's, we won't spoil anything. I guess, yeah, we won't spoil anything either because Casey's here and it's definitely cool.
I'm cool if you spoil it because I'm going to watch it and you own it, so I will watch it.
But that doesn't, I want you to watch it though and like not have anything be spoiled already.
Yeah.
It is absolutely crazy. Like I always say, I'm like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, Doctor Strange came out earlier this year and that was definitely the far worst multiverse movie that could have come out and existed. And this movie, it just is insane. Like, it goes, you know, not for a pun, but it goes everywhere. It literally goes all over the place. You're not expecting what's happening next. It's humorous. It's so funny, but it's also so heartfelt in moments. And all of this, literally the most insane things about going everywhere in the multiverse and doing the most insane things is all about a story just talking about the human experience and how incredible it can be to just live day to day in your everyday life and how insane and even, you know, as like a spoiler that's not really a spoiler, it's like in a way that we could be literally anywhere in the entire, you know, world choosing to do whatever things. Why is it that so many times we come back and just live our everyday, like, normal lives? Like, obviously,
the
like,
mundane,
some
yeah.
days, like, you know, obviously a lot of times, like you have, like, the choice, but it's like, oh, do you really have the choice? But it's like, why do we come back to it? And I don't know. It's just so much about that. And somehow it tells that story in the most insane, wacky way. And it's just beautiful, and like the soundtrack is gorgeous. I have a few songs from the soundtrack that I listen to on repeat, and it's just heartfelt, and the characters in it are so lovable. Like, I mean, obviously Evelyn is great, and the story focuses around her and her daughter Joy, and it's really good. But I mean, Wayman's my favorite character. Though. I love
He's
Wayman.
So He's so good.
So anyways, I don't know what else you wanted to
say
about
from a production standpoint, like, Oh, like, it's a movie with such a huge, like, scope, like, scale. Like, it's deep. It's I mean, they're jumping from different universes, you know, but it's done so inexpensively and so creatively, from the costumes that they're wearing to, like, I guess I shouldn't say I was going to bring up something, but I'll just leave it so you can experience it, you know, but just from everything, it feels like moments feel like an inexpensive indie movie. You know, they have these dramatic, like, family moments that feel like, oh yeah, this is a cheap indie movie, which isn't a bad thing. You know, like, a lot of those indie movies, I love that feel, you know, that indie movie feel. But then all of a sudden they'll transition to this giant action scene that feels better than a blockbuster, you know? And I read somewhere that it's like three guys were on the VFX team, and they did better VFX than the Multiverse Doctor Strange movie. Like, it looks incredible, and the action scenes are so expertly choreographed and fun to watch, and the special effect the production design is like cheap and indie looking, but it works so well, you know? Like, in one of the universes, all their tech has this like retro, like 80s feel to it, you know, like wearing a big computer on your head, or like an exoskeleton made of like old PC computers, you know. It just, the scope is so huge, but it's also so small and contained and just so impressively done. I love it. I absolutely loved it.
Here's the, because I let our buddy Cade, who's been on the podcast before, I told him to watch it, and he watched it, and he also loved it, and he sent me one of the IMDb facts about it, and it was really close to what you said there, Vince, about the VFX. So all of it was done by 9 people, but most of it was just by a core group of 5, and none of those people went to school for VFX.
That's so cool.
They were all friends who taught themselves with tutorials they found online for free.
That's so cool. That's
just
so cool.
Insane to me. And it just ended up being this big, if you love A24 movies, it's an A24 movie. Mm-hmm. And it just wow. Like, I really, like, we talked about doing an episode of it, and I could have filled up, like I said, 3 episodes worth of stuff just talking about this movie. Wow. So if you've watched it and you love it, also please reach out to us, and me especially, because I'd love to talk more about it. But we'll leave it at that and let you all and Casey experience Everything Everywhere All at Once. Also produced, not directed, but produced by the Russo brothers, in case you need.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
So is it a redemption for that one show you were just talking about?
For the Gray Man?
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. Did the Russos just produce that
I one, thought you said they did something with this.
I know they did something with
directed.
That.
I thought you said directed. Yeah. I don't know, but
I can't remember. I already forgot what I said.
I already forgot about that movie.
I hope I got it right the first time.
Well,
we'll find out.
We'll never know.
All right. There's that. All right. Now let's do one for Casey and I. We can do a quick, because I don't think you saw this one, Vince. The Black Phone.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Casey and I
don't want to talk about that one.
Casey and I and Allie, we went to go see The Black Phone in theaters, which is a little horror movie starring Ethan Hawke. And it's definitely a good one. It was like kind of creepy. Like, I don't know exactly what I was expecting going in, because I hadn't watched any trailers or anything like that. And sometimes when I think about it, I almost want to change my rating, but I'm like, no, I'm thinking retroactively. Like, I'd have to watch it again. I rated it like 3.5 stars on Letterboxd, right? Which is still like a solid movie.
Which is out of 5, right?
Out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah, 3.5 out of 10.
I was like,
and
wow.
I'm like, yeah, it's good.
Sure. I like this movie.
No, and the thing is, I liked it. And a big reason of why I liked it was sort of like how it comes together at the end. And it's really interesting. But it's about one of the things that, as a kid, was my worst nightmare, like getting kidnapped by someone, right? And it's just, you know, a completely terrifying thing of that. And it follows the boy and who gets kidnapped. It goes along. He's kidnapped by, you know, Ethan Hawke. And Ethan Hawke as this, like, villain. What is the grabber is what they call him.
Yeah.
Right? He's super creepy. And he wears, like, this mask. And he wears different parts of this mask. And it is just, him being that is just terrifying. And I forget the name of the two child actors who are the main, because the little boy is the main.
Mason Thames and yes. Madeline McGraw.
Yes. I don't want to sound rude to Mason Thames, because he was kind of the main actor of this movie, because it was him and Ethan Hawke were a lot of the centerpiece of that going on. But what was that little girl's name? Sorry?
Madeline McGraw.
Madeline McGraw? This girl was insanely good. Like, in case you can either say you're wrong or justify it, but she was still in a good amount of the movie, and she was absolutely incredible.
Look at this mask he wears.
Yeah, I saw it in the like trailers like, and stuff. It
but the
cool.
It changes, yeah. Like the bottom oh, mouth. Really?
It's like
oh yeah, it doesn't look like, the same as the one where he kidnaps him.
Yeah, I feel like there's like a cut in the middle, and sometimes he'll have like the top part off, sometimes he'll have the bottom part off, sometimes he's wearing the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
So it like changes, sketchy and each one, even though it's still the same mask, it's still super creepy. I don't know. It's just definitely like I said, it wasn't what I was expecting, but it kind of builds up in a slow way, but a super cool way, and tells a super interesting story in that sort of like, what is it, like 80s era? Like
late 70s, early 80s.
Late 70s, early 80s.
And it was in Denver, Colorado.
Yep.
It was crazy. Like this film actually reminded me of like a great, it had the vibe of a 70s film in some ways too, just with vastly better production. Because we have better technology, and it had me freaked out as an adult, like, and oops, but it was like, I don't know how to describe it. Like they played, like it's interesting because, you know, there's like a whole era of parents, right? Like when milk carton kids started becoming a thing and children became getting grabbed, and like this is like the perfect example because like America as a whole, we don't really like let our kids go anywhere without supervision anymore. But like all of our parents, they like dream about the days and like when I was a kid, we'd play outside from dusk till dawn or dawn till dusk or whatever. And now all you do is sit inside, and it's like it's because of what happened to you as a child, you know? And like we like it's a serious thing that happened, and like it gave people a lot of fears and stranger danger. And like it's what's interesting, like why we love Stranger Things in a way too, is because they're just kids out on an adventure, right? And that's kind of how this show kind of starts out, is like kids riding their bike down the street and then getting grabbed. It's terrifying. But I also like the idea that it kind of portrayed, not to give too much away, but like of the resources that can come to you in whatever weird way that they might come to you.
Yeah.
And how like even though through our best efforts, sometimes we might miss the best clues that are existing and happening, but also that like intuition exists. Because like one of the key parts is like the little girl has some intuition about what's going on, and people do or don't listen to her. And finally, when they start listening to her, things kind of come together in a cool way. But yeah, that movie was crazy. I actually didn't even know what the movie was about. I actually expected it to be about like a black cell phone, like to be honest with you.
Like a modern,
more of a modern twist, like more like a crime movie type thing is what I was expecting. Because like, that's what I expected, but it was so good. Actually, like, if I were to, like, rate this on a Letterboxd scale, like, out of 5, I would actually probably have given, like, a 4.5. Like, personally. Because I feel like it was such good writing. It was a low-budget film. Mm-hmm. It was, like, a $17 million film, and it scored, like, almost $150 million in the box office. So it was a good film. And Ethan Hawke does an outstanding job. Like, props to him for knowing how to be hella creepy. Like, and I will bleep that out, but, like, it was so sketchy. It was super good. So yeah, solid. Good call.
Definitely
good call.
Another recommend.
Yeah, definitely something you should watch.
It left the theater so fast. I swear it was there for like 3 weeks, two or 3 weeks, and then it was gone. Or it changed. So like there was like 2 showings a day, and it was like the middle of the afternoon and like 10 o'clock at night. So I never like I missed that first opening window of being able to see it at a decent hour. 7 o'clock.
the show runtime. The show runtime, you know, is reminiscent of how long you have to find a child once they go missing. That's dark. I'm sorry,
but it is on my list. Like I was planning on getting to it, and then I just never found an opportunity, and now it's gone.
I would say too, that's one you could watch safely at home and not really miss too much out.
Yeah.
It's just the atmosphere of the movie is crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but you should definitely watch it.
And I kind of filled that. I'm like, even though I like summer, I'm getting kind of antsy for spooky season coming up, and I just love like watching horror movies.
My wife already bought her first freaking Halloween mug. I saw
it's so cute though. You know,
I've been seeing that on Instagram a lot lately too. There's 2 people that I've seen post on Instagram going into like spooky stores and like taking picture or Instagram stories of like Halloween candles
what
and
you
stuff.
Got against
like,
that,
it's July.
There's the, what do you want?
We should be celebrating Christmas in July, guys.
It's like, you know, people have like whole seasons where they kind of, it's like, oh yeah, the summer, you go out and you do stuff. I'm like, hey man, like the fall, like I'm like spooky season, like why do we have to limit it to just like October? Like, yeah, July like might be a little early.
Oh, don't get me wrong. There's always a time for horror movies.
That's true.
But just the spooky decorations.
September to February.
I feel like my birthday is in August, the beginning of August. I feel like after my birthday, the next important thing is really, you know, Halloween. So why not? Just right after that, then.
It's getting close. All right, what's next? What are we talking about next? Sorry, I'm getting anxious to talk about a couple big movies here.
So I know, obviously, we probably want to talk about Nope at the end, because it's one we all saw recently, and, you know, obviously, big film from Jordan Peele. Was there any other ones that we watched that multiple of us watched, or do we just want to do some quick rapid fire like?
Did we all watch Thor: Love and Thunder?
Did you?
Yeah,
guys?
I did.
I didn't see it yet.
Well, Vince and I watched Thor: Love and Thunder, and I want to know your take on it.
I liked it. I don't know why it's getting so much hate. I am really, really entertained by Dumb Dumb Bro Thor. I love it. I can't get enough of it. Give me as much idiot Thor as you can. I think it's hilarious every time. I think Chris Hemsworth looks like he's having so much fun. It was over the top. Like, it's just like the humor is the movie. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't lean so much into the ridiculousness, then there would have been stuff in the movie that would have really bothered me. But because nothing mattered. You know what I mean? Like, because everything was for the joke, then the things that would have bugged me in, like, a regular Marvel movie, like, if they would have done, like, the little kid stuff that they do in this, if they would have done that in, like, Civil War or something, you know, that's like more of a self-serious movie, I would have been like, really, this is what you're doing? Like, this is unbelievable. Like, I can't, this is ridiculous, even for the MCU. But because that entire movie was unbelievable and just absolutely ridiculous, and people reacting to things in ways that normal people wouldn't react to things, I was just like, whatever, I'm having a good time, this is fun.
Same though. That's how I felt about it. Actually, I think it was your brother Scott told me the other day. He's like, he saw something where this is a retelling. The story is a retelling by Korg. Yeah. So this is Korg telling the story, and so this is Korg's perception of things. Maybe okay. I'm not quite certain, but the ridiculous of the whole thing and like Dumb Dumb Thor is great. I actually like this one. Like, what's really crazy is people are like, cool, Thor 1, good, Thor 2, eh. Thor 3, yeah, and Thor 4, yeah. And I'm like, Thor 3, yes. Mm-hmm. Thor 4, hell yes for me. Like, I loved it. Like, it was just fun. And that's the thing. Like, so many people have not looked at this as, like, Thor's actual journey through his life since we, like, were introduced to Thor. But also, like, you have to realize that there's – if you are this person, I'm very sorry to say that you don't exist if you do – just call me, slide into my DMs, and we can chat, you know? But there's no one who's, like, stone-dead serious all the time and who, like, has no joy in their life is what it seems like. The only joy comes from victory. Like, this Thor is human. Like, I appreciate what Thor is becoming in that way. And Dumb Dumb Thor, if that's what we want to label him, I will take 7 more movies of Dumb Dumb Thor, and I will take Chris Hemsworth doing his thing.
I'll do every time. And anytime he wants to be in one, I'm there for it.
Well, I don't know if you've read this, but like Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth weren't aware that Thor would return. Like that at the end of the movie, like Thor will return. They were like, really?
Oops.
So I'm curious, but I really enjoyed it. I liked the movie. I thought it was fun. It was just a catastrophe after another, but just in a comedic way. And also, I thought that like that part with the children where we're kind of like, that's a little ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous, but I love the idea of instilling the trust in the generation behind you. Like, whether or not, like, you're all Asgardians pretty much is a thing. Like, when someone's like, I'm not an Asgardian. Like, whether or not you're an Asgardian, but pretty much, like, it's like the trust in the next. Like, the message and the idea behind it. Like, you can step up and do something bigger and better for your community as a whole. And I like that. I like that a lot. So that's where I saw it. Also, I loved kind of going back into it. Natalie Portman's line in this, like, she Thor, like the struggles she was going through, and that kind of like going back to it. Like, I don't think Natalie Portman actually has cancer, but like she Thor has cancer, right? And so many people we know over our years have had cancer and who have struggled these hard battles. And like, you think you found a cure for so long, and so many people are like, they're doing well, and then they don't turn out so well. And I appreciate this story kind of talking about that. And sorry to get all sentimental about it, but like, it's how I feel about like stories. Maybe the pandemic has changed me to where I'm like so much more like sensitive about things, but I'm kind of like, I like the feely. I love it. It's good. So, but
if I had one nitpick, it would be more Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher stuff.
I've heard that so much of that was cut.
That's too bad, because it was really cool. The way that they I mean, number one, the characters are interesting. Number two, Christian Bale's incredible. I loved everything they did with him. Anytime he was like doing his thing, like the black and white stuff towards the end, and the big shadows, like the way that they shot all of that was just so visually interesting. And I've complained on this podcast about Marvel's VFX not being visually interesting anymore, but this one actually pulled some stuff off that I was just like, give me more of that. You know, this is, you know, back when you're being creative, like this likens back to when you're trying a little harder.
I would like more of gore, actually. That was something I expected more of, because they played up that Christian Bale was going to be such a bad, scary villain, and he did a good job.
He was, yeah.
And he was great.
Just wasn't enough of him.
But it's like one of those things, like it's like, get the little pinky amount of cocaine you want, the rest of it type thing. That's how I feel about it, at least. But I want more. So yeah, Josh, you should definitely watch Thor: Love and Thunder. Sorry if we gave any spoilers.
All right, I was
fine. But it is a good film.
And then I just have to say one last shout out to freaking 80s rock Thor. Like, yes. Out on that rock, freaking goals right there.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Hemsworth got jacked for this, and him at the beginning of the movie, that whole fight sequence, but especially when he like throws off the robe at the beginning and he's just freaking got arms the size of my like torso. Yeah. You know, like Halloween goals right there.
Okay, so just for you right there, he gained like 35 pounds more muscle than any other Thor movie he's done.
He was huge.
So he's been big, but he is big. He could like eat my like whole leg in like one meal. Like, he just like, snack.
It's just the whole like style and everything too. Like, I'm all about it. Just bro 80s rock. Like, I wish I could have seen more of him and Peter Quill interacting, because I feel like that's what Thor was doing, was just trying to imitate Peter Quill, you know? And I would have loved to see that dynamic play out more. It would have been a lot of fun.
I'm really hoping that Thor is in the next Guardians of the Galaxy.
That'd be fun.
Guardians 3?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be, but it would be cool.
I hope so.
Obviously, you know, he's a busy guy, but I haven't seen him in any of the Comic-Con stuff about it. I didn't know that Will Poulter was going to be in it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm so excited. So excited for Will Poulter. I can't remember the guy's name,
but he's a character that's solid gold.
Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like the one that they teased.
Mm-hmm.
Back forever ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting.
When did they? But like, it? Can we talk about Will Poulter's evolution as well?
Galaxy Volume 2. Like, it's been long.
So I guess technically it's fairly direct. Like, yeah, obviously the Guardians were involved in other stuff, but going from 2 to 3, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is one of my biggest gripes with Marvel right now. They keep introducing so much stuff, but who knows when it's ever going to pay off? You know, it's kind of annoying. Like, it used to be the end of the sequence, the after credit sequence led into the next movie, and now it's like, we're going to introduce this character. Okay, well, when's he going to come back?
2026.
Well, here's our layout for the next 3 years, and it's not in any of those. So.
Well, I've heard, what's his name? Kevin Feige?
Feige,
whatever. That guy is the sole brains of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Like, that's kind of a big gamble to risk it all on this guy's vision.
Been working for 20 years, though.
Can he go over and do some DC films for us now? Because I want some better DC films.
We got the Batman. We don't need any of this Marvel stuff contaminating what they've kind of been doing. They announced that for the DC stuff, they want to do more stuff similar to Joker and the Batman. And I'm like, yes, please.
No,
like,
for real.
Get something that feels different than the MCU, please.
I would like, I just like a dark DC, but I just want, what I want, whoever has the rights to all those films, I just want them to be consistent and stop bagging it. Like, they just are like.
Oh, I don't even want them to be, like, Marvel can keep doing their.
Yeah, no, Marvel can do it, but I just want consistent. Well, I guess, like, more like.
Oh,
I don't want
the
guy, I just want the consistency in someone with a master plan and the company running DC. CEU or whatever they're doing, to stay the same and like them actually to follow through with a plan. Because I'm just tired of like things I start to love getting destroyed.
I just, yeah, we can talk about something else, but I don't want them to do a continued story over there. I want them to do contained movies or trilogies and stop trying to do this like 20-year story. Just be like, this is my Robert Pattinson Batman trilogy, the end. Let's try another Batman, you know, and just do something new.
Well, there are so many variations of Batman, so many variations of the Joker. I want more Aquaman, and I want Jason Momoa to be Aquaman.
Actually an announcement. I just got a text from one of my buddies. Ben Affleck is coming back for Aquaman 2.
Yes!
What?
Yes! I love Batfleck! Yes!
I don't know what's going on over there, but that's happening, I guess.
Sorry, I got really excited over here. But let's talk about something else.
Easy.
I'm sorry, I got us off on a tangent. Do you want to talk about the one we've all seen?
Yep.
Let me shout out a quick old...
Oh, yeah.
Quick...
Shout out a couple.
A quick couple that I've seen that were either like all right or pretty good that I don't think anyone else has seen. I watched Duel on AMC Plus because I have AMC Plus because I'm watching Better Call Saul as they come out each week. And so I had it and I figured, it's Aaron Paul. It's Karen Gillan. Seems interesting. I'll watch it. 3 stars out of 5. It was a cool story. Very interesting. Ending definitely had some like meaning to it. It wasn't super satisfying though. It was very interesting. I would like, if you have AMC Plus, I would say, yeah, definitely watch it. I wouldn't say to get AMC Plus to watch it. I don't think it'd be worth it. But it was good. And the thing is, I like Aaron Paul in like almost anything.
He's a Breaking Bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's going to be in season 6 of Black Mirror. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be cool. Duel was cool. And then... Actually, I guess it was only these two then. That, and then I went and I saw Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, which I have been looking forward to for a long time. Another A24 film based off of the, not sketch, what is
like
it?
Like an SNL thing or something?
And I don't even think it was SNL because it was after Jenny Slate left SNL.
That's what she was.
But it was like her and her husband made this like short film. It's like a short film that's put on YouTube about like this little shell with like a little googly eye. And like it going around the house and doing stuff, and Jenny Slate does like a really like cute, funny voice for this little guy Shell, and it was really cute, and it got like a lot of views and stuff forever ago. And now they finally like they ended up making a full length movie about this Shell and his sort of journey and his desire to find his like community, his family, his people. And it was definitely also different from what I was expecting, because I was expecting, you know, this whole big like let's go out and do this big adventure, you know, like travel across the world, like this little shell and stuff. And while it definitely is still like the journey to find like this little shell's family, it's actually very different. It's a lot more just about this, you know, this tiny little shell and the guy who, because basically he lives at like an Airbnb, right? And this guy comes to like stay at the Airbnb, and he's the one who like starts filming him and what he's doing, right, and talking to him about all this stuff, and he's posting these videos to YouTube, which sort of is how it goes. And the story is just beautiful. It's heartwarming. It's touching. It is hilarious, like this little shell and the voice it have, like with so many different things. I feel like, and that was like one of the only like things that I've seen on like Rotten Tomatoes when people gave it, because there's only like 2 or 3 like rotten reviews of it from critics. Right. It was, people were like, oh, the humor wasn't hitting all the way through, and everyone else was like, are you kidding? Like, humor carried like 80% of this movie like all the way through, and that was definitely my favorite part of it. And it's actually one that it's only PG, and I would recommend for like anyone, for like families to watch it. Like, I told my mom that she should watch it, like with the kids and stuff. And there are very few movies which I can tell my mom, like, hey, you should go watch this, because she's very strict about the movies she watches and their ratings. And I was like, you should see this. It'd be really cool. And you'd like it. Awesome. So it's definitely one that I recommend to anyone. Obviously, it's a little bit more indie and small. It's actually in a lot of movie theaters right now, because it took a long time, because it released in like June. And it was just in, like, New York and L.A., and it slowly moved out. It was in Salt Lake for, like, a couple weeks before it came down here, and then eventually it was down here at a place where I could watch it. And right now it's at, like, Cinemark and Megaplex, and so who knows? It'll probably end up streaming somewhere. Showtime, probably, because A24 has, like, that deal with Showtime, which I don't have Showtime, so... So it might be tough, but if you get a chance, I would highly recommend watching it. I gave it 4 stars. As well on Letterboxd. This is just gonna be. I'm just gonna.
I'm like always peeping over at his letterbox. I'm like,
sorry.
I'm not sad about it. I'm just kind of like, this is actually kind of cool to see. So I'm
that's
excited
the thing.
To
when build you have
out,
it,
I'm excited to build whenever. Out my movie watching journal a little bit more, guys. Ready, woohoo! Uh-huh.
All right. Sorry,
I actually
those are my...
have reviewed now two films.
There you go.
While we've been talking about it, so I'm ready.
All right, those are my single fire ones. We can get to Jordan Peele's. The final of his trilogy. I'm just kidding.
I was like,
you were
done?
Like, what?
No.
I was like, since when is he finished?
They were all
he
connected. Is... You didn't know?
Are they connected?
No.
No. People throw out, like, I've seen, like, a YouTube video of him reading these, like, crazy theories about his movies being connected. And he's like, y'all are thinking a lot. And he's like, I don't mind it. He's like, this is too deep. Not true. Like, he's like, y'all are crazy. Like... Let's talk about Nope.
Nope.
So there are three movies that are in the running for best of the year for me so far. The Batman, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Jordan Peele's Nope. I loved this movie. I loved every second of it. I had the biggest smile on my face through the entire thing. I avoided everything that I could. I saw one trailer for this movie. So I knew, and I saw posters. So I knew it was kind of about aliens. I knew nothing else, and that's how I wanted to keep it. So I didn't talk to anybody about it. I didn't watch any trailers, didn't watch any interviews, nothing. I walked in just blind, and I loved it. It was so fun. Are we doing spoilers in this?
Spoilers ahead.
Spoilers.
And spoilers are actually probably – this is like a big spoiler thing because you went in like that, and that's pretty good, but that's kind of how Jordan Peele tried to keep it. Like,
just yeah,
the other trailers and anything that even came out with press releases and interviews, he was just like, I just want people to come and experience mm-hmm. like what it is. But like, they purposely kept it that way. So, yeah, spoilers are in effect going
forward.
That's
easily
Nope.
the best way to see it. Not yeah. knowing anything about what's going on is just like, it's so much fun. It's a little bit slow in the beginning, but once it starts going, it starts to move and it is tense. Like, I talked to you, I think, last time I saw you about Stranger Things and how that mm-hmm. those last few episodes, I felt nothing through the movie.
You don't
I
have to talk about that here.
I didn't feel any,
Vince.
Like, worry for any of the characters, really.
This is making me think that you were flawed in your ideas with Nope. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah. We won't have to go to Stranger Things. Because I have some controversial takes on that we could discuss. But
we won't.
I was on edge through a big portion of this movie, just like you know that feeling of just like, just not terror, but just like nervousness through
just a constant
huge, just constant, just like on the edge of my seat, just like something bad's gonna happen, you know, something bad's gonna happen. And there's not a lot of movies that do this anymore. Like, they do so much with so little. So spoilers, right?
Yes.
That freaking scene, the rain scene, is like with the UFO flying around and it's raining and like he's sitting OJ is sitting in like the car and it's just like a close up on his face and he's just sitting there and the UFO is above him and he's like peeking out, he like peeks out the door and he's like, nope, and he goes back in. Like, I haven't sat through it. I mean, it's very reminiscent to Jurassic Park's T-Rex scene, like in the rain, right? I haven't sat through anything that has given me that same feeling as that T-Rex scene since the T-Rex scene, I don't think. Like, and they do so little with it. It's just like a close-up on his face, but you know what's above him, you know what's going on, and it just leaves you in just like this terror. It's not a jump scare, but it's just like this tense, just like, what's going to happen? And it keeps you there for so long. And like the last, like, what, half the movie kind of keeps you in that space.
Well, in that scene in the truck, they eventually, there is a jump scare. There's not really, hardly, there's like a couple of jump scares in this movie, and there is a jump scare at the end of it, which, you know, I don't mind a little jump scare here and there, as long as it's not the whole movie reliant upon constant jump scares. But because you're feeling so tense that entire time, and they've kept you like that for so long without anything, like it's scary, but nothing just like jump scaring you all the time, when that does actually hit, Casey was right next to me. I jumped a little out of my seat, flinched like super hard.
A little.
And so it's not just that. It's not just like, I haven't seen a horror movie in a long time. So I'm like, after seeing this, I'm like ready to jump back into the horror scene, you know? But it's also the mystery that's built up in front of this, you know, just not knowing what's going on, trying to figure it out. And then once it all happens, it's so much fun. It's not just jump scare after jump scare. It's actually, it's like a chase scene. And it's like this, it's just really entertaining to watch. So it's kind of got everything. And on top of it all, it's a Jordan Peele movie. So if you want to peel back all of the layers of this freaking onion, there is like 10 different themes that are going on here that you can go through in each one and be like, oh, he's saying this. Oh, he's saying that. Oh, he's saying that, you know, just like he did with Us and Get Out. Was mm-hmm. that his original? Yeah, Get Out. And it's just like, it just blows me away that we don't, it just disappoints me, I think that's the word, that we don't get more stuff like what he puts out. It's fun, it's tense, it's deep, it's as far as you want to go in it is this movie. I think anybody can enjoy it, like from the film snobs who want to critique to just someone who wants to go in and have a fun UFO alien experience, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, is there are so many layers to it, which he has included in there, that when you go and you look, there's so much about black cinema and how much of it has been sort of buried in the past and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that I've been reading lately that talk about biblical references with it going on, because there's that verse from, what is it, like Nehemiah or something like that. And it's really, it's still focused on the city of that right there, that book of the Bible, what I was reading about, is it's still focused on the city of Nineveh, and it's really close to Jonah in the Bible. And so there's a lot of stuff people talked about that, sort of biblical type allegories that go along with it. And so there's just so much of it that you can peel back. But I read recently in an interview with Jordan Peele that he was like, those are all definitely meant and intended to be there. He's like, but kind of like above, I don't want to say he said like above all, because I don't remember the exact phrasing he used. He was like, I wanted to do a really big, different, and scary, like, monster alien type of horror film, right? Where you get scared and you... And it's just so big in such a different way. And it's just... I don't know. It was just... It was really, really good. Like, we're going to keep talking about it, but I'm just, like, just trying to think about everything.
Well, for me, I went in pretty much blind as well. Like, I'd seen the previews that we'd seen in the theater, but I hadn't really. I knew it was a Jordan Peele film. And I knew, crap, what's his name would be the actor in it.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Thank you. And I loved it. That Jurassic Parks, that thing you're describing where they're in the Ford Explorers or whatever, yeah, that's a great way to describe this.
Fairly alarmed here.
Because there were multiple times it was like, this is what the edge of your seat is for. Like that feeling, the fact that it was like, it was a combination of black Americana film, sci-fi, country western, like classic western film, like the showmanship of old school filmography and like the Hollywood. Like I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and I got like vibes from that. Like I was like thinking about that, because like that kid who's a child actor, and like the monkey scene, like how like the chimpanzee stuff.
Talk about that too.
We're gonna have to talk about this, but like the film itself was, you're right, it has layers. It has, and I think that's what gets us, right? It's like a dish at like a nice restaurant where they've understood how to compile, like where you're getting like the tones and the different flavors, like your tongue is all over. And that's how my mind was during this film. There were times where I was like, I'm almost overloaded with goodness, because like, okay, what the hell was that alien? Like, it was like a flying sheet of some sort. Like, I was like expecting a body to come out, or it to be like little green man, you know, but like, I don't know.
I don't think there's been a alien movie that has the twist that this does.
Yeah.
Like, this was such a unique idea that in retrospect, you're kind of like, why didn't anyone think of this before? You know, like this is such a, so obvious now, but not, you know, I don't know. It's such a cool idea. Exactly. That he went with.
And it's just so, like we were talking about before, just stuff with originality, right? Like, mm-hmm. Jordan Peele didn't release hardly anything. Like, there was a trailer, you know, there was very, like, limited. And what they did do for press releases and interviews beforehand were just very on the surface, like, oh, yeah, it's going to be cool, it's going to be scary, stuff like that. And, yeah, they, like, marketed a lot for it, but they didn't tell you hardly any of the story. But because of what Jordan Peele has done in the past, and because he's original with it, and because you know that that's what you're going to get going forward, because he's not just pumping out content and content and content, it sold out the box office. It was with the top movie of the week 2 weeks in a row now, right? It's like, and that's the thing is, obviously, you know that people need these big streaming services. They need their content. They're going to keep pumping it out. And, you know, sometimes they get lucky and they still get good stuff, even though they're just flying through it and they have the big names. But I just want people to look at what Jordan Peele is doing and hopefully take a page from this book, because it's so original, it's so new, and it's still making money, and it's like doing what it needs to do, right? And I'm not saying it's all about the money. I'm just saying, like,
I mean, well, same thing with Everything right? Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That, they're re-releasing that back in theaters because it's so popular.
I'm gonna go see it. They have extra content.
It's unique and original, and people love it, and it's good.
I wanted to talk about that, the monkey scene, right? Because obviously it starts with that, right? It starts with that, and it was so unexpected, right? Because we, you know, we don't really know what the movie was about, but we knew, oh yeah, Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, they're kind of out in this like ranch style thing, and there's aliens and stuff like that. And it starts in a studio with these kids and a monkey, and you're just like, what is going on? And you don't even see most of it at first, and you see it, and at the very end of that scene at the beginning, right, you see the monkey kind of look directly at the camera. I was like, whoa, that's kind of freaky, right? And then later on, when you know that it's Steven Yeun's character when he was a kid, right, and that type of thing, and you know that he's looking directly at him, it amps it up so much more, right? Because the thing is, like, you knew what was coming, and even though it's like freakier the second time, the second the monkey looks at the camera and it was already like scary, it was 10 times scarier. And I was like, oh my goodness. And it just shows this weird, crazy thing about, like, what is it about people and needing to, like, watch and see these crazy things and, like, go after it. Because, like, Steven Yeun's character when he's a kid, and I apologize to the child actor for not knowing his name, but it just went through this crazy, weird, dramatic experience. And the thing is, like, and maybe I missed it or something, like, it doesn't really talk about or explain a lot of, like, why that happened, right?
Like, the balloon, like, why the monkey,
oh, the balloon, why the chip, popped,
yeah,
right?
The balloon and popped and startled. It triggered,
oh yeah, triggered. Wait, and monkey. It's like something like that, right? It's like, it's not even directly related to the main plot of the story with the aliens and everything like that, right? He kind of,
I mean, it's not related to the main plot, but it,
it's
like,
related
it,
to his character.
And it also just, like, establishes exactly what we're about to see. Like, it's I mean, there's, like we said, there's so,
well,
many,
yeah,
so many ways you can read, or so
something
many things you can read
it
into this movie.
Yeah.
But one of the big themes is, like, man trying to control nature never turns out right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
I guess that's a big
from,
part.
From right in
see.
The beginning, it's like, oh no, we're going to introduce this chimp that man thought, you know, Hollywood thought that they could exploit and make a movie, a TV show around, until the monkey didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And then he killed it. He destroyed the set and killed a bunch of people. And, yeah, you know, it's kind of the same thing with the alien,
yeah,
you know?
That's what they try to do the whole time. They, even if they're not trying to control it, you know, just get a picture and this whole thing, and it kills a ton of people. And yeah, it's crazy. And so, yeah, but then that's just like the whole thing is, like, they do that, right? And it's like, but why, like, is there this huge, such a need to, like, do all of that and, like, get the picture, and why there are all these people, like, I don't know, just like so much of it, you're just like, what?
I think it's meant to, like, remind you that, like, nature is uncontrollable. Like, we do not control as much of the universe and the world as we think we do. And that's what I was feeling. I was like, we're not in control. Like, that was my whole premise of this thing, right? Like, they talk about, so they, he picks up his sister, and Dan Kalia's character picks up his sister, like, after she's kind of, like, made of, I don't know, frustrated him and his work down at the production studio. And they drive back, and then they go to the thing. And she's like, oh, this used to be something else. Like, well, it went bankrupt. And there's new owners, and it's, you know, Steven Yeun's character. And that kind of talks about, like, going bankrupt and the changes that have been going on and, like, what they're doing with everything. It's like, there's so much that we can't control because of what happened. And, like, the quarter that fell from the sky and, like, got his dad. And, like, all these different things. It's kind of, like, this whole thing is that you can't control or predict what's always going to happen to you. And that's how I felt about the movie. And the way that they portray this, though, is like the things that we think we have trained and have in control, the monkey, everything's changed. Okay, we're going to show you a great spectacle at our evening showcase, the music of the hills. Like, this is something my family and I have discovered. And it's just all things. And then you don't deserve the impossible shot. Everything's changed again, right? And so it's just like, I went ahead a little bit, but it's like, that's how it was for me. It was like, everything is a snap, a snap, a snap. It's like, it's uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the beauty of it.
And almost jumping, I don't want to jump like backwards, but when,
no, please do.
When Vince was talking about like the tenseness of the movie, like the tenseness had it ready. So like whenever big things happened, I was like ready for it and I was going to be scared or get really crazy. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so crazy. So much so. And obviously they treated it as if it were a really tense scene. And, you know, looking back on it now that you've seen, you know, the masks and everything, I'm like, okay, I guess maybe it was a little, you know, like kind of silly. But when he was like in the barn and like the training area for the horses and like the kids pulled that prank on him with those little alien like mask thing, I was like, whoa. I was like, this is it. Like, oh, yeah. The aliens are here. They're at his place. And I was freaking out. Mm-hmm. Like, this is crazy. And then you see, like, it's just the kids. And you're like, oh, like, I was on the edge of my seat there because mm-hmm. I was feeling so tense. And I'm like, whoa, these look, like, even though they were so simple, I was like,
when
these
he's,
look
like,
kind of
sitting,
crazy. These
sitting down there at the bottom and you can just kind of see him in the darkness. Yeah. You're like, no, no.
Yes, exactly.
And even in that moment, like, it comes back to the have to get the shot, you know, what's the first thing, his first reaction, he's like, nope, and then he pulls out the camera and backs up and starts
yeah.
trying to record it, like that's our, it's like
our, it's our immediate
thing. Is like we have to get this.
Well,
we have
it's kind of like we're joking with the Apple Watch, right? Like if you don't record, it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's the same way, like if I see
society is so like, I mean, I get it, like I've done stuff on Instagram. My ex-wife, she used to get mad at me all the time because I had my camera up in the mountains all the time, and it's all about the shot. Doesn't matter what you do, you know, you got to get up there, you got it, doesn't matter what position you get in, you know, got to get that shot for the Instagram feed or else it didn't happen. This is another one of these running themes throughout the scene or throughout the show, is just like we have to capture everything. And well, there's so much that we could go into that we don't have time to like explore each one of these avenues, but I yeah, that's just one of the themes that really I connected with a lot too, was just like we have to record everything, the TMZ guy that shows up, you know.
Anyway. Yeah.
That was such an interesting like interjection of into the film though. Was like when they're like, "Oh gosh, do you know this guy? Who's this guy with? He's on an electric motorcycle. The aliens like kill electricity, right? They're like the electromagnetic field that they just take everything out. This guy's like thump, boom." And it's like such a it's I don't know.
What an interesting, like, obviously there's so many things that are cool about this film, and like there's a lot of cool themes we can go into. I just want to talk about how cool and weird and brilliant their plan for keeping track of where it was mm-hmm. was with the floppy guys connected to the car battery, so you could just kind of see like where it was and where it was moving. And so then when the guy was on the electric motorcycle, they were like, oh no, like 3, 2, 1, like he's toast, because it was cool. I was like, that was like so like how, like obviously they know like, oh, electricity, it hits it, boom, all this other stuff, right? It's like they know, but just like thinking of something like that, I'm like, that's crazy. And it just made it really cool and also up that tenseness, because you could see where it was, if it was close to you, if it wasn't close mm-hmm. to you. And I just thought that was really interesting. And then we talked about Daniel Kaluuya's side of, like, the rain scene with the thing when it was right above him. But what about the scene when it was above their house? And right after it, you know, obviously sucked up all the people at Steven Yeun's show.
We just need to talk about the alien itself.
Right.
The UFO itself and the entire conception of what this thing is and what it does and how terrifying it ends up being. How much scarier it is once you figure out what it is. Because, like, throughout the entire beginning of the movie, you're hearing, like, they hear weird things. And they talk to each other, like, is that a horse? They're like, I never heard a horse scream like that before or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. This UFO is a living thing floating around, hiding in the clouds, eating horses. And the noise that they're hearing as it flies by and the electricity goes off and everything goes silent is the scream of people being digested in this freaking thing above you. That is the most terrifying thing I have thought, seen, or been shown in a long time. And partner that with the freaking scene of them being sucked up, like, just from the thing and sucked up into,
like an intestine,
the intestine or whatever. And like, the panic and terror on these people's faces as they're just, like, trying to figure out what's going on and slowly being crushed and digested. And that is not going to leave my mind. That shot of it just panning up and seeing all these people screaming and just terrified and just that's not going to leave my mind for a long, long time.
BTS on that. Like, I want to see how that happened. Because it was a crazy shot. Yeah, exactly. You're talking about how you're going to be thinking about it for a long time after. Like, they just have, like, an open-ended sort of, like, and they're just like, did they really, like, stuff all these people, like, really close next to each other? Did they have some sort of special way?
Yeah, because it's all in one shot as they move up that thing, too. Like,
yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Put myself in the position. Number one, getting sucked up into the air is terrifying to me.
Oh, just flying up in the air. Because, like, even – it's like, okay, you're going up to that thing that's probably going to kill you. And what if it doesn't?
Yeah.
You're freaking 200 feet in the air. What's going to happen?
You're going to fall.
You're going to live
that?
Again. Like,
you're just you got nothing. You have no control of anything at that point. And getting sucked up in this thing, being digested, and then that leads into the rain scene that we keep talking about. This entire sequence is some of the best cinema, if you want to call it that, or TV or movie or whatever that I've seen in a long time. And I had the biggest smile on my face through the whole thing. And just felt that sense of terror, but not like nervousness and terror that it's gonna be on my mind. Like it's gonna be on my mind for a long time. Just it's so cool.
Well, what it reminded me of, and like, did you guys watch the War of the Worlds that Tom Cruise did a few years ago?
Yeah,
this
a long, time,
a long yeah. butt time ago, I guess now. But like, it kind of like the monster didn't remind me of those sounds though. The sounds like reminded me of it, and like the sound. Like coming through, but like when you're talking about, like, I haven't heard those sounds before, I haven't done it.
But
like,
that's what's so cool about this monster is it's not the monster making the sound.
Yeah,
it's the victims that you're hearing flying above you, being slowly eaten and digested.
It's just the weirdest.
And so even
thing.
Though it'll be like associated, like, you know, if it was like a species and there were tons all over, it'll be like, oh, you'll hear like this sound, it's like it's actually not from it, but from
the
something. Yeah, but it's like that would be the association.
So terrifying.
And that's just crazy.
I don't know though. Like, if there is a monster, that's that I'd never want to meet. It's this one.
Well,
like,
because it.
Also, I watched the clouds way more suspiciously on.
Left, there were all these. When we left the theater, there were all these clouds, and I was like, "I'm looking at you, like that's the one. It's there." No, but can we talk about like what happened where it was, especially at the beginning, right? Because you know it was the classic. Like, imagine if people had seen this stuff before, right? If it had seen that in the clouds, you know, we get the classic. It looks like the classic, like, UFO style shape. And so you're thinking, oh, yeah, it's this ship, you know, it's this thing flying around, like, abducting people. So what it looks like at the beginning is all still the very, like, standard alien type thing until you learn what more about it, right? It's not a ship. That's the alien. It's not just, like, sucking stuff up to bring them there. It's eating it, like, all that stuff. And so it plays and it makes it so different. So even though it was what you thought it was, it still looks the same and then it's different. And then you get to the end and just that beautiful, gorgeous, terrifying, like it opening up all of those flaps being.
It
like,
reminded me of a nun, to be honest with you, like a sketchy nun.
Okay, explain that one.
I'm serious.
Okay, but how though? I'm waiting.
Okay, so like think about like some of the nuns, like in Europe back in the time, there was like these oval shaped nun outfits, right? Where they have the big old like flowing things still, like their whatever habits, like their headdress things. But when it floated and we kind of saw it like kind of like sprawl a little bit more, it was actually kind of beautiful to look at. That was weird. It's a monster.
Beautiful, terrifying.
But it is like nice, and that's the thing right there. That's why I'm like saying like it was kind of like. The idea of these black veil brides, per se, is just kind of like, it's like simple beauty, but this like stood out, was like an angel almost. So like, I want to rephrase it, looks like an angel, not a nun.
Okay.
But like, but like, it was just like,
whew. Yeah.
But that's, yeah, that's what's so cool is like, it's nature. That is nature. Like this is, might be something from outer space, and who knows, you know, but
or is it something that developed here organically?
Yeah, did it come out of the ocean? It did look a lot like kind of like a manta ray, you know.
I thought it was like floating
around.
Well, yeah, when it was like that and then opening up like that, my thought was like, that's like a jellyfish or something,
yeah.
Right, with like its stuff like moving like that.
I was but like, that's huh. like that's like nature. Like, if we never saw a tiger or an alligator, yeah. it'd be like, what is this freaking monster? You know?
Yeah.
And then, but like, that's what nature is. Like, how many? I mean, fish or whatever. When they're defensive, they like, or like a puffer fish or something. You know, when it gets changes. Spooked, it changes in it. Or like birds, you know, when they're trying to like find a mate or whatever, they puff out their feathers and they get like intimidating or something. It's kind of that same idea of just like, this is not, I mean, this is something extra, maybe extraterrestrial or whatever, but it's still nature and we're still trying to dominate it, but we have no control. And it's, you can see that, you know, it's Earth nature turned up to 11 and made cosmic. Kind
of thing, let's, you know? Turn this, it's monster, so cool. up to 11. I love that. I love that. Oh, man.
And how much of it is cool that, like, and this is definitely a smaller part, just sort of as we wind down a little bit about it. How cool is it that the shot that actually ends up being, like, the shot isn't this crazy high-quality video or even, you know, this non-electrical camera that ended up being. It's this weird little well. That, of course, because he's Jordan Peele and it can't just be, oh, perchance, oh, I found this. He introduces it earlier in the film and you know, you don't think twice about it until you get to the end and you're like, oh, shoot, like, yeah. This actually ends up being really important. And that ends up being the shock. Well, and in the weirdest way, with the thing flying in the sky, not like the thing, but like the balloon that he ends up chasing and ends up kind of hurting him. Crazy.
I have to say, though, I think I enjoyed the shot, the first shot that got more. When it was still enclosed kind of in its UFO shape and he is riding the horse and throws the flag up right in time and it has to do this like maneuver where it goes off to the side. And so the guy's getting this shot of just like the bottom side of this UFO with him riding right in front of it and the dust just shooting up. I thought that was a cooler shot than the thing. I mean, it's not the impossible shot because that's it's defensive. It's not going to show its soft under jellyfish underbelly to anyone, but that's right. The more impressive like dynamic shot, I thought.
Well that's what I wanted to talk about, actually. Is one of the things is like they bring in this movie director, right, this guy who's a cinematographer, and in order for them to combat the fact that, like, they put up all these cameras around the yard and they keep going out and having issues, right, because of the creature's defenses. So this guy brings in this old whatever 8mm camera or whatever.
That was an IMAX camera.
Was it really?
It had IMAX written on the side of it. He freaking rigged an IMAX camera to be a handheld crank.
Like, that's what's amazing is they're just like doing this with this classic so cool. film camera, and he's just like, she's like, oh, we're out of film, you have to change it out. And so they like do actual problems. He's like doing it and putting it up, and then he gets that shot right that you're talking about where he's running with it, and then he like pretty much like gets a smaller version of the camera, goes up and is like, you don't deserve the perfect shot type thing. They lose the film, like it's just thrown about and like sucked up.
Oh no, I was freaking so
arrogance
mad.
Of man, right? Yeah, there, like, man. Never but like good enough.
But like he gets sucked up, completing the biblical quote at the beginning.
Oh yeah, true.
Because it's arrogance of man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but also, here's my question now. So the thing is destroyed, whatever falls to the ground because of, right? It falls, it crashes down at the end, right after it blows up the balloon guy, right?
Okay.
Do they get the thing? Do they go get like this carcass? Do they go figure it out? Does it stay down? Like, what happened? Like, this is the end of the film where I'm like, this is what I want to know now.
That's interesting.
And as Jordan Peele does things, I doubt there will be a sequel.
Doesn't need it. I hope it doesn't get
I don't think it needs one, and we don't need to know everything, but I think, I don't know. It's a good way to leave you with like, what's happening next?
Yeah.
Because she got it on like film, man. Like,
yeah. Like not only what happens next to the alien, but like what happens to the world. Like, okay, now there's a extraterrestrial, if it is like known. We got video evidence or photographic evidence. It was all about getting money for it. So is she gonna get the credit for getting that photo? You know, like it leaves a lot of stuff open that you kind of have to fill in on your own.
When the house is like ruined.
That so much. Yeah, that was another thing that surprised me. The house after it got blood rained down upon it, like that could be a backlot haunted house now. You know, like, you know, when you go
out
to
the middle of nowhere, California, you know, people drive, yeah, would drive from LA, like out there.
But to... you know, have you guys been to Universal Studios, like on the backlot tour ever? Mm-hmm. So I haven't been there in years, but they have a backlot tour where they go through and you take a tram and they take you kind of to past the sets that are currently being done, you know, and they have like very, like they got a Jaws exhibit thing there. And ooh, so they've got like little things to make the ride exciting, but you also go through whatever's currently being filmed. And like when I was there at the time, it was the Grinch was being, they had the sets for the Grinch still up. Anyway, they have in the backlot tour, they used to, I don't know if they still do, they had the Bates Motel building there, and mm-hmm. in the top of the Bates Motel you have this, like, you can see this like fake woman just always rocking there. This house, after being rained on, like blood rained on, looked like the perfect back lot tour house, you know, like like it's just, it's covered in blood and kind of red and gross and dingy and
there's
middle
stuff
of nowhere.
Everywhere,
it's just like, yeah, it's just like coins and keys are sticking out of the ground.
Wagon wheels.
I was like, this is perfect horror movie like setting.
The
right
jazzy
here. This
scooter
is awesome.
On top of the roof.
And oh, I didn't the jazzy scooter. I didn't expect to get that from this movie. It was a nice little bonus on top of it. Just being like, production design is on point.
Quick question: Did I understand correctly? So the weird lady who I thought somehow was like crossed with a horse from seeing the trailers.
Oh,
was that his other child co-star
from, who was like, didn't have,
like,
lips?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like, she didn't end up dying from the monkey attack, but that was her, right?
Her face
so
off.
Did you guys ever hear about, this is a reference to an actual chimp attack that happened a little while back. Like, I don't know the details, but this legitimately happened where the chimp freaked out and ripped, like, her ears off, her nose off, her lips off, like, all that kind of stuff. That's crazy. And so she actually did an interview with, like, 2020 or something, and she came dressed with one of those little veils just like in the movie. So it's like, it's very much a reference to something that actually happened and was kind of like brushed under the rug a little bit.
Yeah.
But man, I added a lot of atmosphere because like that was perfect trailer material, you know?
No, exactly. Well, because that's a thing.
Like, I thought that was going to be like one of the aliens or something, you know, when I first saw
it. It was like a lady mixed with a horse because, you know, obviously a big part of like what they show was like, oh, the horses and the aliens. And I was like, this lady, you know? So, yeah, it is perfect to leave it completely ambiguous as to what, like, actually happened. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with horses, like, or aliens even, technically, yet. Like,
no, just the consequences of
thinking
we can control nature.
Yeah, crazy. And literally, like, the only kid to escape unscathed from it didn't learn his lesson.
No.
Back here again.
Thought that if he could have that type of connection like he did with Pogo or whatever,
right,
the monkey
exactly.
was.
He's like, oh yeah, dude.
He's like, oh, I can have the same connection that I had with the chimp with this alien that I did again, and just got a lot of people killed.
That was hard to watch though, like to think about, like, because like I live with two dogs, right? And they're still wild animals. Like, if you really
think
about
that sometimes, it's crazy.
And, like, how many times have I been hiking and, like, I had to pick up my dog one time and carry her past a moose because I was so nervous that the moose was just gonna destroy me, like, type thing. And my dog would make a stupid move and she would get hurt. But, like, how often do we, like, and like, there's a thing, like, recently, and this is not to, like, bring anything up, but, like, the people in, like, this happens every couple of years, like in Yellowstone, who get like too close to the bison and get mauled,
yeah,
right?
Like three people got it like this month.
Yeah, like, but that's what's crazy is we just keep thinking that like animals are nice and we're not remembering that they are wild animals. Like, we can domesticate them to a certain point and they can just be passive about us, our existence. But like, how crazy are we to believe that we just it goes back to this thing, like, mm-hmm. it's unpredictable, we don't have the control, and
everything can change in a flash, like you were saying.
Well, because we live in a society where it just feels
we live
like
in
you
a society
have so much control, right? Like, sorry, I didn't be like,
no, I'm sorry, you're right. No, though no. I just said that
because of because we don't think about it, because what we have now has been built up literally over thousands of years, right? And so we have this crazy sense of illusion of control, right? Because you don't really worry about a ton of things. You don't really worry about a bear walking up and attacking you one day. You don't really worry about where you're going to get your next meal because the grocery store is right there. You don't really worry about so many of these things because of the way that over thousands and thousands of years we've built to live in more comfort and to not have to worry about those things, right? Which is nice, but we also don't think about how much things can change in just a flash, in just a second, right? The thing that I always think about is, yes, obviously Mother Earth and nature itself can do something crazy that, you know, brings us to our knees that we're just like, oh man. For me, it's thinking about like outer space. I'm like, we're going, and obviously they're like, oh yeah, this one thing is like moving like this fast or whatever, and we can see so much. But with the vastness of the universe, I always think about, what if there's something like three times the size of, you know, we're this, and there's this, and there's this. There's something even larger than that that we don't even see. And then just all, like, it's not like one that you even see coming just because of the extreme, like, nature of our universe. What if there's something just so large moving so fast that just we're wiped out in not even a millisecond without seeing things coming? And just things like that that just make you think, like, I think exactly what we've been talking about so much. There's so many themes about it, but the one we've been talking a lot about is our control and our illusion of control over nature and a ton of different things like that. Like one of the main things is just like, hey, like we need to take a step back and kind of remember who we are. And like, it doesn't have to be a bad thing, right? Like not to, you know, I mean, yeah, I will shamelessly bring up Everything Everywhere All at Once again. Like, even though we're like even smaller pieces of shit, like nothing matters, but in a good way, right? Like, there we go. I loved 100%. It. Boom.
Boom. Mic drop.
We can finished. Talk more if you guys want, but that's my those are my pieces.
Yeah. What a good thought though. That how small really are we? Like the world is so big, it's untamed. The universe is large. There's a new satellite producing such clear images of the universe. It's like
gorgeous, by the
way. What? I don't know.
It's so like, cool.
It's just insane. I don't know. But any last closing remarks, Vince?
No. This might be my favorite movie of the year. I think this might beat out Batman and Everything Everywhere. And I have to just shout out the cast, man. Like, just to wrap it up for me, like, Daniel Kaluuya is awesome. The guy who plays Angel, his name was Brandon Perea, I think. Yeah. He was funny. He was good. Kiki Palmer was – I brave. Loved her in this. Yes. I loved her. She was so, so much fun to watch.
It was such a weird – sorry, I was thinking about this earlier, and I don't mean to talk about it too much, but it was, like, such a weird bridge because OJ, right, Daniel Kaluuya, he was still very much kind of in that old sort of type of way that, like, his dad was set. And even though he didn't wear, like, the flannel and everything like that, he still had on, like, the boots and the jeans and, like, a sweatshirt, and he was still very much sort of, like, that old-style cowboy where she's very new – you know, she's vaping, and she's like, oh, yeah, here's all my things. Like, follow me and stuff like that. And sort of just see that dynamic as
kind
well.
Kind of old in the new age, kind
that.
Of.
Sorry, mesh. I know we're wrapping up. I had to mention that because one of the things that I loved. Yeah. But they still just have a crazy awesome relationship. So
I'm,
cool.
I'm glad you brought it up, man. Because in all honesty, like, the way that they acted, like, we haven't talked a lot about the actors. I think we have kind of, but we haven't. But, like, they felt like real siblings to me in a really good way. And then just bringing, like, I like how it was Fry's, by the way, like the company, the store.
I don't know. I don't have any relationship with that. So.
Okay. Well, for a kid, like, I remember, like, going in and this guy, like, me being, like, the small town guy. And then, like, these people, like, being like, actually, like, oh, well, we can figure it out. Oh, and the person, like, no, actually, this is how you do it. Like, I can show you. I can do it better. And, like, having someone come to our house back in the day and, like, help us install crap in our house, like, that reminded me of that because, like, they're, like, on a farm. I grew up on a farm. Like, it was all really cool. But, yeah, I really liked the Angel guy, like, the actor. I at first thought he was someone else, and I was getting really confused. The guy who was the deaf drummer guy at first is who I thought he was.
Oh.
That's who I thought he was at first. I was like, this guy looks like him but isn't him. And then, like,
from
once
– Sound of Metal?
Yeah, Sound of Metal guy. And that's who I thought he was. And – But also, like, I just liked all the supporting cast that was just kind of in and out really quickly, too. They did such a good job. So, yeah, that's all I have to say. I thought it was a good movie. Josh, any closing thoughts?
Nope. I did my Everything Ever All at Once and Nope crossover thing. Well, boom.
Boom. You did it. Anything else, guys, before I close it? Two thumbs up?
No, it was great.
All right, guys, if I had two thumbs, I'd give this movie two thumbs up. But if you want to go see Nope, you can find it in a theater near you, or you can wait till it comes out on digital. But... I would recommend, after seeing it in IMAX, you go see it in IMAX, because it is a movie worth watching on the big screen. Do I sound
filmed
like...
filmed in IMAX, too, so...
Was it filmed in IMAX?
It was made for IMAX.
That's why he had the camera. So you can see the actual details of IMAX, actually. That was their, like, product placement for IMAX. He's like, give me these expensive cameras to shoot with, and I'll we'll give you a shout-out. But anyhow, I sound like the thing at the beginning of the movie, like, shh, your movie wasn't made to be watched on the teen screen. It was meant to be watched on the theater. So anyhow, guys, it was good to join you again for a podcast. We'll get this out to you, and please, as always, follow us on our socials. Reach back out to us. We want to know what you thought about Nope, and we'll be back again with an episode sooner than the last one. If not, like, please come throw fruit at my house very gently in a basket I put in front of it. So anyhow, catch you later on the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast.